You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 183. And today, my special guest is going to reveal the secret to building a seven-figure business in a conscious way. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hey there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your host, Profit Amplifier, Melanie Benson. And today I've got a special guest joining me to talk about how he built a seven-figure business in a more conscious way without all that stress and the hustle harder mentality. So I'm excited to introduce him to you. And while we're on this subject, one of the things that I think is super helpful in building a business and scaling a business is learning how to use profit amplifiers. Now, profit amplifiers are techniques that allow you to put a little bit of effort in, but get a massive result. And I have put together seven of my most favorite profit amplifiers, the things that really move the needle over and over and over again with my clients and in my own business. And I have put them together in a free 7-day coaching program. You can get access to it at profitamplifiers.com. And all you have to do is head over there, sign up for the 7-day coaching program, and I will be your business coach absolutely free for 7 days. Now, you're going to want to watch for the daily video that explains how it works, the action, the profit amplifier action that you can take immediately to start getting results, as well as the bonus resource I give at the very end to pull it all together and help you prioritize. All right, now let's get into today's episode. I'm super psyched for today's episode. We're talking about how to build a 7+ figure business in a conscious way without all that stressful hustle. So let me introduce you to our guest. Scott Oldford is the creator of the ROI method and the 6-pillar framework. These systems help entrepreneurs scale their businesses and create sustainable business models, allowing them to be successful in all areas of their lives, not just their business. Hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurs regularly take Scott's advice on marketing, sales, and mindset. Scott is a sought-after investor and partners with businesses when they are ready to really grow. Scott, thanks so much for joining me today. I've been loving getting to know your ROI method and learning more about your work, and I'm super excited about sharing it with our community today.
Of course. Well, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here and excited to talk about scaling and how to do that in a way that as much as possible, you can be conscious about and as little hustle as possible.
Yeah.
Fun. So.
Well, and I think hustle sometimes is such an interesting word. Like, there are always going to be times when we're hustling, right? Like, we can't not hustle because you got to get past that inertia sometimes. And at that same point, we have to recognize that if we're always hustling, that's not really sustainable. And I'm pretty sure that's what you mean.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, it's like, if you're looking at consciousness, willful consciousness is hustle, and above or different than that is intellectual consciousness, which is, play smart instead of playing hard. Mm-hmm. And then above that is intuitive consciousness, which is, well, let me go with my intuition and let me not do all the things that I think I need to do. And let me go with what I actually need to do. And I think that a lot of the time people, watch, look at the gurus or, look at Gary Vee or look at whoever it might be. And it's like, there's a version of what works for your life and you need to go with that version instead of like somebody else's system for your life and for your business. And if you did that, if you actually followed your intuition on that and you followed your intuitive consciousness, yes, you have to get through times and you sometimes have to use willful consciousness, but a lot of the time it's because you're trying to follow someone's model that you just quite literally doesn't work for your life. I have some people that have like 4 kids, their business very different than the single guy that's like 24. Two totally different situations. Both of them could get to 7 figures. 2 of them have to work a little differently in order to do it. So I think that's really what it comes back to.
Yeah, well said. Well said. I think we can't just like, it's not like a cookie cutter. You have to use your own life and realize what you really do want. I want to just lay the framework. We've dropped this little nugget about the ROI method. I would love it if you would just explain briefly what that is so everybody can have some context for our conversation.
Absolutely. So first off, if you want the version of this that's like in depth and that type of thing, you can go to the ROImethod.com. But here's really what it comes down to. So it was 2018, and I just went nomadic. So in 2017, I built a company. I was doing $300,000-$400,000 a month. But it wasn't really like what I really wanted to do. And I was living in Canada and I was kind of like, the more money I made, the more unfulfilled I got. But I built this company from 2015. And, in 2013, I was $1 million in debt. And then in 2015, I started this business and I started realizing between 2015, 2016, 2017, like the reason I was able to build a multi-million dollar business at that point, while having no money, no resource, actually having negative money and resources, was because of three things. One was relevancy, two was omnipresence, and three was intimacy. And so that was where the ROI method came from, which is essentially if you have your relevancy right, which is your positioning, your avatar, your messaging, your unfair advantage, your offer, your positioning, if you have all those things right, then it allows you to become very relevant. And in the world, there's a lot of noise. And so the most relevant signal is going to be able to cut through the noise the easiest. And so that allows for your ideal, perfect, right customers to be able to find you. So a lot of people do this right, but a lot of people don't do all three things right. So the second thing that then you need to do, omnipresent, is being in front of people, being actually taking someone's attention and putting it towards you. So, you know, if you're in a small town, you could do this by, you know, just being at all the networking events and being, you know, hosting lunches and dinners and that type of thing. But in an online aspect, it's, you know, making sure that you have the right email strategy, having the right retargeting strategy, showing up, essentially saying, hey, you know what? I know who I'm relevant to. Let's take this small group of people and make it so that I'm ultra relevant to them and that I'm big fish in a small pond, and almost creates this like bubble mentality where everyone sees you. They don't realize that like not everyone in the world seeing you that way. So it kind of allows you to become a celebrity in this small niche that you're in if you're ultra highly relevant. So that's omnipresence. And then the third part is intimacy, which comes down to community, connection, and conversation. So the more conversations you have, the more clients you have, the better of a community you have, the more of like, here's what I'm here for, here's why you're here, let's do this together. And then finally, the ability to connect with someone through authentic relating, allowing for you to actually share not just what you're good at, but your stories, what has actually happened, being able to allow someone to connect with you on an emotional, level allows for, instead of salesy sell, allows for someone to be like, you know what? I feel like I'm in their community. I like this person. I'm having a conversation with this person. I want to do business with this person. And those three things allows you to, you know, scale, whether it's your coaching, consulting business, whether it's your, you know, software as a service business, your e-commerce business. Like, it works in every industry to be able to allow someone to see that you're for them, to allow for them, for you to come up over and over and over and over in their life. So you kind of activate this, wow, you know, they're everywhere. Maybe they're for me. And then finally, to allow a person to be like, you know what, I want to do business with them, not because they're like selling or pitching me, but I actually really just love the way that I'm connected to this person, even if I don't even know this person. So that is the ROI method. And that is really, you know, what I realized I did by mistake. And then after I did it by mistake, by, you know, just, you know, knowing human behavior and knowing marketing really well, I packaged that into, if you have these three things, it's almost impossible for you not to be able to grow your business by having the right clients, having far more clients than you even, you know, could even handle, and being able to make it so that they really look up to you, want to work with you, see you as a celebrity, and are willing to pay what you're worth instead of what the market might bear. So that is the ROI method. Hopefully that made sense.
Oh my God, it makes perfect sense. And it's making me really curious because, you know, I've been around for 20 years in the online world, and I have always done my best to keep that level of intimacy. And I think there's a lot of people who, when they imagine scaling, their fear of scaling is that they would lose that intimacy. They would lose that ability to really be connected and have that kind of impact on the lives of the people they serve. So you've done this several times now. Like, what do you think is the secret to keeping that connection alive when you're scaling?
I mean, I think there's a couple of things. Number one, I think it's definitely the authentic, you sharing authentic parts of your life, maybe yes. Before you want to share those.
Keeping it real, really real.
I think the you know, not you need to be a lot less polished than you think you need to be, is what I found out over the last, you know, 5-6 years. And I think another part is, like, you can hire your team to be able to reply to comments, to reply to emails, to reply to, like, it's not the fact that the intimacy has to be with you directly. It can be the fact that your team is kind of taking care of that, or somebody on your team is taking care of that, to be able to create that conversation through the connection that you would have through your social media or your emails or whatever it might be. Right. So those elements, and then, I mean, you know, here's the other side. Is like, if you hire a one-on-one coach, are you going to get more intimacy than if you buy a group program or a membership or what? Like, there is an expectation of, like, what level, and this is why you really need to up your authority and your positioning in the marketplace, which is why omnipresence is so effective. Because, like, the honest truth is, when someone buys into a membership, they don't expect to be on the phone call with you. And as you scale your impact differently. Your impact becomes, you know, the person in your membership is going to be able to consume some of your content and is inspired by you. Whereas somebody that's working one-on-one with you, you are directly transforming their life, but you can only directly transform, you know, 10 or 12 at a time. And so it becomes more of, like, the type of transformation and the type of impact you have changes in someone's life as you grow and scale your business. And I think that that's the biggest, like, difference of you can't expect to have the same type of impact. Your impact is just widening as you grow and scale the business.
Yeah. I always like to think of it as, like, you transform into a ripple maker instead of, you know, making every ripple yourself. You're going to have other people help create those ripples. So
yeah, absolutely. But I also just want to say, though, is, like, a lot of people get way too concerned about the impact they're making. Mm-hmm. And just, like, most people shouldn't be worrying about the impact they're making until they make enough impact for their own life so that they can actually go and think about those things. Like, I think a lot of people think about impact when they're trying to downplay the fact that they need to be in a selfish place in their life. Okay, so let me explain this. So, like, you, in my opinion, you caring about the impact you make from a, like, this big mat, like, you saying, oh, I want to make a big impact, and you only have $5,000 in the bank, like, that's bullshit. You need to be able to take care of your needs and get to a high level of the hierarchy of needs before you, like, go all in on impact. Like, I was in Necker Island last year, Richard Branson's island, and I'm sitting right next to this guy. And I'm like, you know what? He, like, took care of his needs, and now he can impact at a limitless potential. And that's, you know, and so the reason I am a big believer of having a multi-seven figure business is so you can actually impact people from a place, and this is so important, of pure support versus you impacting people and being like, yeah, but I still need to pay the bills. Okay. And so I think that in order to be selfless, you have to be selfish first. And so I think a lot of people, they feel bad for making money, they feel bad for having money, and they feel bad for being selfish. And at the beginning, you've got to be selfish if you ever want to truly be selfless. And that's what so many people mess up. And because of it, they try to, you know, do things that they shouldn't be doing. They try to, you know, give to charity before they really should be giving to charity. They essentially create an unsustainable business by trying to, quote unquote, impact before they've really earned the ability to have that impact. That doesn't mean that your impact, your want and desire for impact can't not drive you. I'm not telling you that you need to be, like, so concerned about money and, like, you know, be like, you know, oh, money, 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 money. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that your business decisions need to be based on business decisions so you can get to a place where you can give pure support to the world in the ways that you want to give it. And in order to do that, you've got to be a filled bucket, not empty.
Yeah. It's the concept of, are you growing from a place of abundance, or are you growing from a place of scarcity? Because you need that next client to pay your bills. It's a totally different strategy. So it's a different mindset. And I think it changes your perspective and it changes your decision-making when you're coming from that place of already feeling abundant and wanting to impact. So I love that you said that. You know, I feel like I want to take a step back though and really start to understand more. We're talking about scaling here today. And I think a big part of what you teach is mindset. I think you have to have the right mindset, but I'm sure there's some other pillars or some other frameworks to get you to seven figures. Maybe let's unpack that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, so first off, you got to know, why do you want to be at seven figures? Let's just talk about that first. So a lot of people, they want to be seven figures because they listen to me or some person like me telling them they need to be at seven figures. Okay. most people, best way to do an act, like, I love this exercise, write down what your dream life is and how much money it's going to cost. And so most people I find, like, they, what they really want is like $250,000 in profit a year. Okay. You don't have to build a $1 million business in order to have $250,000 profit. Is a $2 million business going to be able to give you more in life? Yes. But a lot of people, like, they don't want the responsibility, or they're not even ready for the responsibility in their current level of consciousness to have the number of people that are unhappy at 2 million versus 500,000, far different. I find more happy people at 500,000 than the people that are at 2 or 3 million. Because the two or three million, a lot of people build multi-million-dollar businesses out of ego, pride, and proving. So first off, if you're gonna build a multi-million-dollar business out of those three things, you're gonna be very unhappy. That's the first thing. So let's get past that. So let's assume that you have pure good intentions. You want to build a seven plus figure business, and you actually want to build a seven figure plus figure business because of the fact that you really think you have a business that's valuable, that can add a lot to the marketplace, and you think that you really feel deep down it's for you, versus I just want to prove to like my school teacher that I could do it, you know what I mean, or I could just prove that I could be successful. Okay. So then we get into the six pillars, and this is in my book, my new book that's coming out in June 2020, called The Nuclear Effect. And there's essentially six pillars inside of every single business. There's marketing, there's sales, operations/team, delivery, finance, and mindset. And so every single one of those, think about it this way: without marketing and sales, you don't have anyone to sell to. So your operations and team could be great. Your operations delivery team could be great, but you're not going to be able to generate any money. You could be generating a lot of money, but if you don't have your finances intact, then you're going to be screwed there. If your mindset's not right, if you don't love yourself, if you don't see yourself as worthy, if you don't have confidence, if you don't trust yourself and trust others, if you don't have that inner confidence, if you don't have all these different types of mindset things, you're going to find that your marketing funnel doesn't work because you're too afraid on the video, or you're not going to get the marketing funnel done because you're afraid that it's actually going to make you successful. So there's so many things that come to seven figures, but there's essentially these six pillars. The easiest way to be able to figure out, how to grow to seven figures is every single week writing down every problem you have that are under the six pillars, and then going and solving the most important ones, and just doing that week after week after week after week. If you do that, eventually you're going to end up building a successful business because you keep on solving all the problems. And that's basically the job of an entrepreneur, is to be able to solve problems. The more money you make, the more problems you solve. And the bigger the problem that there is, the more money you get paid. And so that's essentially, like, that's the simplest way I can say on how to, yes, there's strategies and there's this and there's that, and there's a different strategy depending on if you have a bigger audience, or, if you have high ticket or low ticket and all these things. But from a theory perspective, it is being able to solve problems, help people, ensure people see your stuff, and just rinse and repeat year after year. And, that's what able to get you there. And then of course the ability to, look yourself in the mirror and be like, I'm going to invest in this business and I'm going to do this, and I trust myself. I love myself. I know I'm going to fail. And every single time I fail, I figure out how to be able to do a better job at being successful. And I've been doing this entrepreneurship thing for 20 years. I've massively failed so many times, but every single time I fail, there's, okay, that's why I failed. that's why that succeeded. Let me bring that over to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And I mean, and that's the reason why I've been able to help over 100 entrepreneurs scale past seven figures, and why I've been able to build, you know, 10 of my own seven plus figure businesses over the past 20 years, is because of that consistent, okay, no, I'm not a failure. What I did didn't get the result I thought I did, and let's keep moving.
Okay. You just said so many amazing things. I feel like we have a mic drop moment here, or several of them, actually. I want to just circle back to something that you said and really make sure everybody not just hears this, but really takes it in and maybe even writes it down and make it part of every decision that you're making right now. And that is, start with the end in mind. What do you want? I think you're so right. Like, so many people chase this dream that it's someone else's dream, and they get caught up in it because they think that's what they're supposed to do, or maybe that ego is driving it. But if you don't know what you really want and you want it to be at the end, you will blow it up. You will implode at some point because you're creating someone else's dream, not yours. So I love that you brought that up. The thing I want to come really circle back to, though, is you alluded to the fact that you've had several failures. And I think this is something that's just not addressed enough. It's not talked about enough. And I see so many entrepreneurs holding themselves back of the fear of failing at something. But what you're saying, and I can certainly attest to this because I've had several failures, very expensive failures. We do fail. It's not whether you fail or not. It's what you do when you fail. So maybe share a little bit more about your experiences of failure and how have you created a different way to move through it and use it as a growth tool.
Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's like, okay, you failed. So what? You know, I think it's like, whatever. It's like, cool. I got another data point. Let's keep moving. You know, I was $1 million in debt, and I couldn't get tranquilized by like the debt. Like, people get tranquilized by debt. People get tranquilized by bad things happening to them, or what they think is a bad thing that happened to them. Me going to $1 million in debt, I literally would never be able to have the perspective that I do today for entrepreneurs if everything I ever did was successful. Like, I've monetized. I always joke, but I've monetized failure. Like, everything I do today is because I had so many failures. I've seen, you know, a lot of my clients, they've gone through failures. Everyone goes through failure, and I'm like, oh, that's what not to do, and that's what to do. That's what to do. All these different types of things. And so, it's the mindset of, that didn't work, and that does not mean that I'm a failure. And that is the mindset that you have to go with. And you just kind of like, you got to invent a scenario where you just have fun figuring out what works and what doesn't work. And you just keep on going. And you just kind of like, like, everything in life is perspective. Like, if you have the perspective that something is a failure, it's going to be a failure, and you're going to have a lot of bad energy around that. But if you have it, you know what, that didn't really work, or that didn't work the way I thought it was going to, or you know what, that was embarrassing, or hey, isn't that so funny that that happened? At least in my perspective, it makes it so that it's like a good, it's like good energy, good, and also just like always only giving yourself a day to, like, if something failed, give yourself a day to like feel it. I'm not saying you bypass the feeling, but feel it and then keep moving on. And you're going to look back on it and be like, oh man, remember that time that, you know, I did a launch and no one signed up? Or remember that time that, you know, I had a 400 and, you know, these are mine, you know, I had $400,000 in taxes that I needed to pay that I couldn't pay and almost went to jail. Remember that time that I got served for, you know, that dumb thing that I did, and, you know, I had to go to court on it. You know, I mean, I mean, remember that time I sent out my course for free to 78,000 people by mistake?
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, remember that time that this programming team from India hacked all my websites and put marijuana plants on all my clients' websites? I mean, listen, I could go on for like days. Like, I mean, like, people look at me like, I've had far more like moments of what people might call failure, or like the amount of embarrassing moments I've had. It's like, it's hard for me to be embarrassed by anything anymore, because it's like, I feel like I've experienced it all, you know? And so I think it's an element of like having a very positive perspective and just like allowing everything to be light and funny instead of like this seriousness and this darkness and this like, oh my God, that what the worst thing that's going to happen is like, so what? Worst thing that happens, you die. Like that is the worst. If you didn't die, you're good. And that's really what I, you know, the mindset I had to adopt around like failure. And also allowing that to adopt into success where you don't make success a big deal either. And you also like, oh, cool, that worked. Let me keep on going. Because a lot of people get, they get like, because success is very romantic. And so a lot of people like, you know, they when you are successful, they look at people look up to you and like all this. If you look at success the same way as the people around you look at success, you're going to start believing a story that's not true about you. And now you, people have a bigger problem when they're successful trying to avoid failure than when you're a failure, quote unquote failure, and you're trying to avoid failure. Because the other problem is once you're successful, now you don't want to like end the streak. And so now you don't actually do the things you should be doing because you don't do the crazy things anymore. Like look at Apple right now. They're not really like doing the crazy things anymore because they're successful and they don't want to screw that up. Right. And so, you know, big companies do this, every type of company did this has happened to me before. And so, you know, you kind of like, you always got to, it doesn't matter if you make, it doesn't matter if it's a good day today or a bad day today. You just got to keep the same kind of like, you know, you just got to be like a river, always flowing, always kind of going, always, you know, joyful, always fun, always radiant. And, you know, allow that to carry you through life and through your business, no matter if you have a good week, a good month, a good year, or a bad year, versus trying to create a story about it. Mm,
that's really great advice. And I'm grateful that you share it because I know a lot of people don't have the right mindset around failure. I certainly didn't. Like I went through a major failure in 2009, 2010, and I took it so personally, but I wasn't surrounded by a bunch of people that were being open by their failures, right? And it wasn't until I started sharing it, all these people came out of the closet and goes, oh, let me tell you about my $1 million meltdown, right? And all of a sudden I realized this is something that everybody's dealing with if they're creating success. So it's refreshing for people to share it. And look, we all got to figure out how to move through failure because it's more common to fail than it is to succeed. And I love the advice of like staying in the river. Don't chase the highs. Don't chase the lows. Keep the flow moving. That's really great wisdom.
Yeah. That's you could probably put that on an Instagram quotable now that I say it. You know, every once in a while I see something smart.
Yeah. I've got a couple already written down. We'll use them to help promote the episode for sure. Okay. So Scott, there's so many different things that I want to talk to you about, but I'm feeling inspired. Like if someone's listening to this right now, they might think, all right, I'm in. I want to scale more, whether it's scale into mid six figures, I want to scale to seven figures, but I want this business to be bigger than where it is now. What's the very first thing that you would advise them to do, assuming they've got relevance down, to really be able to start increasing their profits and their revenue?
Well, I mean, you gotta think about it this way. Like there's three major elements. There's like if you got a good product, you got a good business model, and I got a really good training on this actually. I'll give you the link afterwards because it's a little bit complicated link, but basically the training that the seven things you need to know in order to build a seven figure business. And it's basically step by step the seven things, but I'll try to remember them right now for you. And then if somebody wants to go to it, it might be on my website. I don't even know where the training's to, but I'll give you the link.
We'll link it up in the show notes for everybody.
So essentially, you know, the first thing is if you're below seven, this is basically if you're below seven figures, if you're below seven, the normal problem below seven figures is you do not have number one. You don't really have like a 90-day plan or like a year plan, right? Like you don't actually know what you need to be doing. So my first thing always is you need to have clarity on the two things that create massive momentum. So I'm not a big believer of the what's in motion will stay in motion, like all the laws that you know that were invented and set in the 1700s around motion and gravity. Like I don't believe in those. I believe in, you know, quantum theory, quantum mechanics. And so that basically means that anything can start as quickly as I want it to, and it can stop as quickly as I want it to. And, you know, I believe more in the quantum than I do in the what is in motion stays in motion until something is applied, right? And so based on that, that means that I need to have alignment and clarity. And after I have alignment and clarity on a plan, I know exactly what I need to do, and I go and do it. Now, the biggest problem people have is they have a plan that they develop themselves without somebody, a guide or a mentor or somebody at least reviewing it to make sure that they're not completely going off course. And so I think a lot of entrepreneurs, they just get up and they're like, well, I think I need the work today. So I'm just going to, you know, work on a marketing funnel, and I'm going to funnel hack this, or I'm going to funnel hack that. And they don't actually have a real plan. Right. And nothing against that. They just don't know the better. Right. And unless you have somebody to be able to guide you, that's been able to do it multiple times. And this is not me trying to sell my own mentor. Like, this, it doesn't matter who you do, like, find somebody that's a step or two ahead and like, be like, hey, is this the right plan? So that's the first thing. Second thing, you got to make sure that you have the right, and we touch on this, you got to make sure you got the right business model, right? Right. Yeah. Yeah. Make sure that you have the right business model for you, your customer, and what you actually want to build, right? If you got a membership that's $39 a month, it's going to take a lot, and you don't have a bunch of money in the bank, and you don't have a big audience, it's going to take a lot of time to get to $1 million business. I guarantee you that. So you got to make sure you have the right business model, what works for you, what works for your goal, what works for how fast you want to grow. Okay. So that's the second thing, business model. The third thing is, you know, and now we're starting to get into my memory. So I'm a little scared about number five and six because I don't remember them, but we'll get there and see what happens. So number three is making sure you have a marketing and sales engine, right? And I'm not telling you got to have the marketing funnel. I'm just telling you, you need to have at least two or three places or the partnerships, being on podcasts, having a Facebook group, having an email. Like, I don't care what it is, but you need to have more than like the current source of people to be able to, you know, generate leads. Like, one of the things I did in 20, I built $1 million business between 2014, 2015, sorry, no, 2013 and 2014. I built multi-million dollar agency by literally doing group stranger lunches and dinners six times a week. So six times a week, I'd get eight people for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, lunch and dinner, six times a week, eight new people every single week. And that allowed me to meet, you know, 50, 60, 70 new people every single week. Right. And so I literally didn't spend a single dollar on online marketing to be able to generate, build a multi seven figure business. And people are like, people get in their head about it. You just got to like meet more people and figure out how to help them. So, you know, the third one is you have to have some way to be able to generate new attention. It's really what that comes down to, is like, energy is attention. Money is energy. If you want to have more money, you got to be able to get more attention towards you, which then flows the energy. Okay. So that's number three. Is this making sense? I just want to check.
Oh yeah. I'm following you. We're going really fast. So I'm glad we're giving them the link in the show notes. And that's good, because we don't have all the time.
The whole training's 53 minutes. I didn't want to go through it. So that's number three. Number four, implement the ROI method. I'm not going to keep going into that one because you already got the resources on it and you're good. Number five is community. Making sure that you're around other people that are like you, that you're in a peer group, whether it's a mastermind, a Facebook community, meeting in person. If you don't have that, build it yourself or join one. You need to be around other people so you're not lonely and you don't think you're crazy, right? Being an entrepreneur, basically borderline insanity. Right? It just is. We got to deal with things that normal people are not dealing with. So I highly recommend being able to have a group, have a community of people that are there to be able to kind of like work on that and be with you and, you know, that type of thing. Right? So these, again, so we have five things. These things, doesn't matter where you're to, assuming that you have something that you can deliver, something that you can help people with, these things are so incredibly important. And what I see is that when people don't have this, they end up in a place where, you know, if they don't have a community, they're going to be a little bit, they're going to feel lonely and they're going to feel disconnected. And that's going to make it so that they're actually depressed. So then the next two things is mindset, making sure that we talked about this, making sure that you're working on the personal development side of who you are, making sure that you love yourself. You cannot love your business if you don't love yourself. Anything that we create, if we don't love ourselves, we will hate that as well. You can't do it without trusting yourself. If you do not trust yourself to be resourceful enough to be able to make a business work, it's not going to work. So I got another really great resource on this, readytorewire.com/guide. That's the emotional guide to entrepreneurship. It's the 12 biggest mindset hurdles an entrepreneur is going to have. And so another one of my companies, Rewired, that's what we deal with, purely mindset. All right. So that's going to be really, really, really good for you on the mindset thing. So readytorewire.com/guide. Now, the very last thing that will get some is the more choices that you make that are the right choice based on your alignment, based on your intuition, based on somebody that's done it before. Entrepreneurs are successful because they make an accumulation of the right choices. And through making the right choices, they end up being where they want to be. If you're 1 degree off, you're going to end up in Japan instead of Hawaii. And so that's what we want to make sure. If you want to go to Hawaii, if you want to end up in Maui, you got to make the right choices. All right. And so it's really, really, really critically important. And this is why I'm a big believer of mentorship, a really big believer of learning from people that have already done it before. This allows you, making the right choices comes down to you not being in a reactive state, being in a strategic state. It comes from you listening to your intuition, not just your logic. And it comes from you being able to slow down and being able to be present and bring attention and awareness to whatever decisions you're making, and not just kind of going around being kind of like, you know, hyped up on caffeine all day and hyped up on everything. And you're just trying to build something for the sake of building it. If you do those things, if you do those seven things, that's really the way to be able to get the seven figures. Once you get the seven figures, your problems change, because now you're going to have more operational problems, team hiring, all those types of things. I don't want to say the word problem, puzzles. You have those puzzles, and that's a totally different set of puzzles. But most people, 90% of the time, those are the seven things that someone needs in order to be able to hit that seven figures. Once you hit that seven figures, you're going to have a totally different set of problems, and that's great. That's fine. My Nuclear Effect book goes into detail about those problems as well. But if we're really just focusing on how do I get to, you know, $75,000, $80,000 a month on a concurrent basis, those are the things that you need in succession to be able to get there. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to share all these resources with our community.
As I'm going along, I'm like, wow, I have a lot of things out there.
Yes, you do. We could have literally made this a 3-part series. But I really appreciate all the wisdom. I appreciate you, you know, sharing as much as we can in such a short amount of time. And I will make sure that these extra resources Scott's put together are all linked up in the show notes. So don't worry.
And I will just say one thing. If you just go to Scott, if anyone wants to just like go to scottofer.com, all those things are there.
Oh, okay.
And categorized and all that type of stuff. So that at least there's one place, so that if you're listening to this, you're not like, whoa, where do I go? Yes. And the other cool part is once you go there, there's actually a new section. If you're below six figures, here's what you should do. Multi six figures, here's what you do. Seven figures plus, here's what you should do. And essentially like a resource for no matter where you're to.
Oh, that's super handy. Great idea. Yeah. Well, you've already reminded us where we can go find more about you. So I always like to wrap up with a little bit more of a peek behind the curtain, a little bit more of the real story of our guest. What do you think is one of the boldest things you've had to do to get where you are today?
I'd say one of two things. One, try to get out $1 million of debt, because that wasn't that easy. I glamorized the story maybe a little bit more than it actually was. It was hard. It's not easy. Getting out $1 million of debt is like, you know, really not easy. So that's the first. Number two though was allowing myself, the biggest catalyst for all my growth, which most of my growth in my opinion has happened over the last couple of years, was allowing myself to fall in love. Hmm. And, I think my relationship to Libby Crow, she's also an entrepreneur and has a podcast and those things. It taught me how to surrender, and surrendering as an entrepreneur is difficult because most entrepreneurs are created by us wanting to have control. So one of the best books I could say that, you know, hey, listen, you know, go read this book, The Surrender Experiment. I highly recommend The Surrender Experiment. And, you know, I that's one of the books I send out to every single new client I have or customer I have. And, you know, I think it was me realizing that my intuition was actually good and right, and I could trust it and I could follow it. And ever since that time, my life has gotten exponentially more happier, more fulfilled, more prosperous, more abundant. And that really is what created that, was, you know, allowing myself, saying consciously, you know, I'm going to fall in love. This is crazy. I just met this girl. You know, I met Libby, and less than 6 months later, I married her. So, you know, I think that was a catalyst for so many of the things that have created me to be who I am today. And a big part of that was, you know, the process of getting away from the ego and getting into surrender and just allowing to be like, you know what, it created a belief in me that there is some plan, universal plan that I'm part of. And I don't have to work as hard as I really think I do in order to allow that plan to, you know, to reveal itself and to be.
I love that. That's such a great story. And the book, The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer, I'm actually listening to it right now on Audible. Wow. So I've been hearing about it for a long time. I read his previous book and I was like, okay, maybe I should listen to it. And surrender has definitely been a big part of my own evolution as well. So I feel you on that one. I will link that up in the show notes as well. So if you're scrambling for a pen, you know, all of these links will be available to you. Scott, thanks so much for being with us today and sharing, you know, your really extraordinary wisdom and keeping it real for us. It's a treat.
Absolutely. It's great to be here. And if you're an entrepreneur, which you probably are, if you're listening to this and you're still here, then you're so proud of the fact that you're taking a path that is at times not as easy. And that you know, you're making it happen for you, your family, your community. And I guarantee you, after 20 years of this, I wouldn't be able to do anything else, just like you probably wouldn't be able to do anything else. You know, my last word is just, if you want to be successful, there's a certain level of resilience you need, and just keep on going in the direction that your gut tells you to go, even if everyone around you says that you're absolutely crazy, because there's a reason you're on this path and there's a reason you're doing what you're doing, even if it makes no logical sense.
Yeah. Entrepreneurism rarely is logical, but it is fueled by passion and drive. So thank you for leaving us with those wisdom thoughts.
Absolutely.
This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at amplifyyoursuccesspodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.